Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland, once again in our Buck studio here at WPR for some live music. And today it's going to come from Jessica Jang, one of the four final forte finalists performing with the Madison Symphony Orchestra a few weeks back and featured on Wisconsin Public Radio and TV. And welcome to the Midday.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
And so you're a ninth grader. Now, you're finishing ninth grade?
Yeah.
At Memorial High School in Madison?
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing the piano then?
I've been playing the piano for about 9 years now, I think. Maybe 9 years.
Okay, so you were all of like four or so when you started the piano.
Yeah.
Do you remember that experience?
Not too much, but I do remember like first learning about middle C and stuff.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, and starting to play scales. And yeah, it was just that I really liked it, and so I kept going. And yeah, here I am now.
Here you are now. Are you still playing scales?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good exercise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably some that are not all rooted in the key of C either, I'm imagining. You have quite a broad repertory of pieces that you prepared for us today. What are you going to start with?
So I will start with Schumann's Second Romance in F sharp major. And it's a very beautiful piece. And I think that it mirrors a lot of Schumann's love for his wife, Clara, because he loved her a lot and he loved her, but then he had to go through a sort of darker phase when, like, her father didn't approve of their relationship. But however, in the end, their love prevails, just like in this piece.
Well, that's a great explanation for the romance in F sharp by Robert Schumann, played here by Jessica Jang.
Thank you.
Every bit as romantic as you promised.
Yeah.
Romance in F-sharp by Robert Schumann. Well, we go just about almost 100 years, I would say, between Schumann and Maurice Ravel, who certainly had romantic aspects to what he wrote, but is known for his impressionism in some cases. And what do you find in the Sonatine of Ravel?
So Ravel composed the Sonatine, well, the first movement, which I'll be playing today, for a competition. But I think what happened is that he was the only competitor, and so they canceled it. But later he went back and he wrote the second and third movements and completed the Sonatine. And I think that it's a very like mystical piece. And the 32nd notes in the background, they kind of like give an atmosphere of like fog or like some mist on a mountain. And then like the melodic line to me is like maybe a little pixie dust like within the fog. And so maybe you're just walking through it and it's just very magical.
I can't wait. Bring on the magic.
Thank you.
from Ravel's Sonatine. That was the first movement, as you promised, Jessica. Lots of mist and mystery and some pixie dust in there. The challenge being, in large measure, I'm guessing, to bring out that melody among all of those other things swirling around.
Yeah, it took some time for me to learn to voice, especially like the pinky, but over time, it just grows into this really beautiful piece that you can really just have fun with.
Well, a bit of a different challenge, I would guess, when you're playing Bach.
Yeah, they're very different. So the Prelude and Fugue, number 5 that I'll play today, it has a lot of like different qualities to it, and like the stories are very different. My piano teacher, Mr. Bill Lutz, he likes to tell me to think of the Prelude as like a bike ride, and like you're outside biking, and then you can hear like the birds chirping, and like you can smell the flowers, and maybe there's an occasional like mosquito or something, but and then you just keep going. And then towards the end, it's like you're trying to bike up a hill, so like you're sweaty and stuff.
It gets better all the time.
Yeah. But then finally, when you get to the top, then you like feel very happy, and then you can look over the hill. And then the Fugue is like maybe if you bike to like a king's palace, like there's a king inside, and like he's strutting around his palace, ordering around servants, and he's just very prideful. Because, like, the Fugue is a very, like, noble-sounding piece to me. Yeah, so I think that they're both very beautiful.
So imagine what you will when we hear Jessica Chang playing the Prelude and Fugue, number 5, from the Well-Tempered Clavier by Bach.
Thank you.
5 from the Wiltenberg Klavier by Bach. Jessica, have you ever counted how many notes you've memorized in playing these pieces?
No.
It's probably best not to think about it. A very high number, though. Quite impressive. Same true with this quintessentially romantic piece by Frédéric Chopin.
Yeah, the Fantasy Impromptu it's very beautiful, but when Chopin wrote it, he didn't like it. And I think he wanted to burn it. But yeah, after his death, his friend, I think, was a publisher. And so he was on the verge of burning it. But then he decided to publish it because it was such a great piece. And I'm very thankful for that because it's really wonderful. And I think there are actually two versions of this piece. There's the published one and then like the original, like the Ortex that Chopin wrote. And I think probably just some things got changed with the publishing. But yeah, I think it's very interesting how like there are two different versions, but both are very, very phenomenal in their own way.
And we're glad that, as you say, that it did not get burned. That's happened occasionally in some of the most favorite works of art. The artist, the composer, the poet wanted to burn them, and somehow it didn't happen. We can be lucky that's the case with the Fantasy Impromptu by Chopin. Thank you. The Fantasy Impromptu, posthumously published the work of Frédéric Chopin, played by my guest during the midday today. Well, so far we've heard from Jessica Jang the works of Robert Schumann, Maurice Ravel, Johann Sebastian Bach, and Frédéric Chopin. And what could be next but Beethoven?
Yeah, and so this sonata is, I think, the third, and so of the opus 2. And so Beethoven dedicated his first three sonatas to his teacher, Joseph Haydn, but he didn't have a really good relationship with Haydn, so these sonatas were more of like a challenge to him, to show him like, I'm better than you, basically, because Beethoven did think of himself like highly, like higher than Haydn. And so, yeah, he included a lot of things in these sonatas. For example, they were all four movements instead of like three, and to sort of break the rules, I guess, of sonatas, and to show up his teacher.
And of course, stylistically, I think most people would agree that Beethoven was right about that, that he was more advanced, let's say, than Haydn in developing the sonata.
Yeah, they're both great composers, but they're very different. So we can definitely see that in their works.
What do we hear in this first movement that you're going to be playing?
So in this first movement, there are a lot of different mood changes, like sudden mood changes, and a lot of also broken like octaves. And so I don't think that Haydn would usually put those kind of things in his sonatas. And of course there are the sudden dynamic changes that Beethoven is pretty notorious for. Yeah.
So we'll be hearing some of those in the first movement of the Piano Sonata number 3 in C by a 20-something composer by the name of Beethoven. Thank you. the wide-ranging first movement of the sonata, number 3 in C by Beethoven, played live in our Buck studio today by Jessica Jang, Final Forte finalist, and you have some upcoming performances.
Yeah, so in June, I believe on June 9th, I will play with on the Green Lakes concert. I'll be playing, I think, my Fantasy Impromptu and possibly the Beethoven Sonata, the first movement. And then the next day, I will be playing on Concert on the Green with Madison Symphony Orchestra again, playing my Mendelssohn Concerto, the first and third movements that I played in the Final Forte.
Looking forward to going into the 10th grade in the fall?
Yeah, mostly.
I think you'd get that answer from most of your fellow students, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you on the Midday Today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
We'll look forward to hearing more from Jessica Jang.